We're now working to combine Einstein's general theory of relativity and Feynman's idea of multiple histories into a complete unified theory that will describe everything that happens in the universe. This unified theory will enable us to calculate how the universe will develop if we know how the histories started. But the unified theory will not in itself tell us how the universe began or what its initial state was. For that, we need what are called boundary conditions, rules that tell us what happens on the frontiers of the universe, the edges of space and time. If the frontier of the universe was just at a normal point of space and time, we could go past it and claim the territory beyond as part of the universe. On the other hand, if the boundary of the universe was at a jagged edge, where space and time were scrunched up and the density was infinite, it would be very difficult to define meaningful boundary conditions. However, a colleague named Jim Hartle and I realized there was a third possibility. Maybe the universe has no boundary in space and time. At first sight, this seems to be in direct contradiction with the theorems that Penrose and I proved, which showed that the universe must have a beginning, a boundary in time. However, as explained in Chapter 2, there is another kind of time called imaginary time that is at right angles to the ordinary real time that we feel going by. The history of the universe in real time determines its history in imaginary time, and vice versa. But the two kinds of history can be very different. In particular, the universe need have no beginning or end in imaginary time.
Imaginary time behaves just like another direction in space.
Thus, the histories of the universe in imaginary time can be thought of as curved surfaces, like a ball, a plane, or a saddle shape, but with four dimensions instead of two. If the histories of the universe went off to infinity, like a saddle or a plane, one would have the problem of specifying what the boundary conditions were at infinity. But one can avoid having to specify boundary conditions at all if the histories of the universe in imaginary time are closed surfaces, like the surface of the Earth. The surface of the Earth doesn't have any boundaries or edges. There are no reliable reports of people falling off. If the histories of the universe in imaginary time are indeed closed surfaces, as Hartle and I proposed, it would have fundamental implications for philosophy and our picture of where we came from. The universe would be entirely self-contained. It wouldn't need anything outside to wind up the clockwork and set it going. Instead, everything in the universe would be determined by the laws of science and by rolls of the dice within the universe. This may sound presumptuous, but it is what I and many other scientists believe. Even if the boundary condition of the universe is that it has no boundary, it won't have just a single history. It will have multiple histories, as suggested by Feynman. There will be a history in imaginary time corresponding to every possible closed surface, and each history in imaginary time will determine a history in real time. Thus, we have a superabundance of possibilities for the universe. What picks out the particular universe that we live in from the set of all possible universes? One point we can notice is that many of the possible histories of the universe won't go through the sequence of forming galaxies and stars that was essential to our own development. While it may be that intelligent beings can evolve without galaxies and stars, this seems unlikely. Thus, the very fact that we exist as beings who can ask the question, "Why is the universe the way it is?" is a restriction on the history we live in. It implies it is one of the minority of histories that have galaxies and stars. This is an example of what is called the anthropic principle.
The anthropic principle. Roughly speaking, the anthropic principle says that we see the universe the way it is, at least in part, because we exist. It is a perspective that is diametrically opposed to the dream of a fully predictive, unified theory, in which the laws of nature are complete and the world is the way it is because it could not be otherwise. There are a number of different versions of the anthropic principle, ranging from those that are so weak as to be trivial to those that are so strong as to be absurd. Although most scientists are reluctant to adopt the strong version of the anthropic principle, few people would quarrel with the utility of some weak anthropic arguments. The weak anthropic principle amounts to an explanation of which of the various possible eras or parts of the universe we could inhabit. For instance, the reason why the Big Bang occurred about 10,000 million years ago is that the universe must be old enough so that some stars will have completed their evolution to produce elements like oxygen and carbon out of which we are made, and young enough so that some stars would still be providing energy to sustain life. Within the framework of the no boundary proposal, one can use Feynman's rule for assigning numbers to each history of the universe to find which properties of the universe are likely to occur. In this context, the anthropic principle is implemented by requiring that the histories contain intelligent life. One would feel happier about the anthropic principle, of course, if one could show that a number of different initial configurations for the universe are likely to have evolved to produce a universe like the one we observe. This would imply that the initial state of the part of the universe that we inhabit did not have to be chosen with great care. The anthropic principle says that the universe has to be more or less as we see it, because if it were different, there wouldn't be anyone here to observe it. Many scientists dislike the anthropic principle because it seems rather vague and doesn't appear to have much predictive power. But the anthropic principle can be given a precise formulation, and it seems to be essential when dealing with the origin of the universe. M-theory, described in Chapter 2, allows a very large number of possible histories for the universe. Most of these histories are not suitable for the development of intelligent life. Either they are empty, last for too short a time, are too highly curved, or wrong in some other way. Yet according to Richard Feynman's idea of multiple histories, these uninhabited histories can have quite a high probability. In fact, it doesn't really matter how many histories there may be that don't contain intelligent beings. We're interested only in the subset of histories in which intelligent life develops. This intelligent life needn't be anything like humans. Little green aliens would do as well. In fact, they might do rather better. The human race doesn't have a very good record of intelligent behavior. As an example of the power of the anthropic principle, consider the number of directions in space. It's a matter of common experience that we live in three-dimensional space. That is to say, we can represent the position of a point in space by three numbers. For example, latitude, longitude, and height above sea level. But why is space three-dimensional? Why isn't it two or four or some other number of dimensions, as in science fiction? In M-theory, space has 9 or 10 dimensions, but it is thought that 6 or 7 of the directions are curled up very small, leaving 3 directions that are large and nearly flat. Why don't we live in a history in which 8 of the dimensions are curled up small, leaving only 2 dimensions that we notice? A two-dimensional animal would have a hard job digesting food. If it had a gut that went right through it, it would divide the animal in two, and the poor creature would fall apart. So 2 flat directions are not enough for anything as complicated as intelligent life. On the other hand, if there were 4 or more nearly flat directions, the gravitational force between 2 bodies would increase more rapidly as they approached each other. This would mean that planets would not have stable orbits about their suns. They would either fall into the sun or escape to the outer darkness and cold. Similarly, the orbits of electrons and atoms would not be stable, so matter as we know it wouldn't exist. Thus, although the idea of multiple histories would allow any number of nearly flat directions, only histories with 3 flat directions will contain intelligent beings. Only in such histories will the question be asked, why does space have 3 dimensions?